take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. Amen. Please be seated.
To discover the deeper message of Christ in everyday music that you might hear on the radio.
A restless generation, we're turning over every stone, hoping to find salvation in a world that's left cold.
In youth group, we can put aside our differences and come together as one, worshiping God through music and friendly together time.
He's calling out to us, to the gathering.
Each school week is full of new challenges and struggles, but on Sundays, we can forget about our busy lives and focus on our love of God and each other.
In a world where our hearts are breaking, and we're lost in the mess we've made, like a blinding light in the day of night, it's the gospel that makes a way.
Whether it's sharing memories with our friends in youth group or the excitement that a Sunday morning in the choir loft brings, one thing is for certain. Being with our youth family never fails to bring a smile to all of our faces.
The opportunity to unite in prayer, acknowledging that we all are here today with our own celebrations and concerns in our hearts. So we will begin with a moment of silence to allow each of us to offer our own prayers to God. Then, in honor of our message series, Strength to Love, I will offer a prayer for the church that was written by Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. Thank you for your church, founded upon your word, that challenges us to do more than sing and pray, but go out and walk and work as though every answer to our prayers depended on us and not upon you. Help us to realize that humanity is created to shine like the stars and live on through all eternity. Help us, we pray, in perfect peace. Help us to walk together, pray together, sing together, and live together until the day that when all God's children, black, white, red, brown, and yellow, will rejoice in our own common band of humanity in the reign of our Lord and our God, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we continue to worship in a spirit of prayer, we invite you to sing, "Be Thou Our Vision," with us. This hymn is traditionally sung from an individual standpoint, but this morning the pronouns have been changed to the plural form, so that as we sing together, we might consider what it means to have the strength to love as a community who is called to love like God and to be a blessing for all the nations.
Thank you.
this time of offering, we worship God by giving in proportion to what we've been given to support the ministry and mission of the church. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, all that we have is yours, and all that we are is yours. In offering these tokens of our lives, may all that we do serve you to the glory of God. Amen.
My name is Catherine Barely, and today Sunlight will be offering Shed a Little Light by James Taylor. This song begins by referencing Martin Luther King Jr. and the unity felt among all of us. We are united in our efforts towards a better future, a time of equality and unconditional love. A civil rights activist, Martin Luther King Jr. believed in finding the strength to love. It can be difficult to love those marginalized by society or of a different social status, but it is those to which we are called to love. Our desire to find this strength can be described as the clenching of a fist or a hunger in the center of the chest, as it is in the song. We have a need to love, but find ourselves stuck, wondering how. We are called to love any and everybody, however difficult it may be. This song is a prayer, asking God to shed a little light and show us how we should and can love people. A prayer for the strength to love. And now, I invite you to worship with us as Sage Backus and Sunlight lead Shed a Little Light.
Turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King.
Now recognize there are ties between us, all men and women living on the earth. Tied to hope and love, sister and brotherhood.
That we are bound together. And our desire to see the world become a place in which our children can grow free and strong. We are bound together by the death that stands before us and the road that lies ahead. We are bound, we are bound. Feeling like the clenching of a fist. There is a hunger in the center of the chest. There is a passage through the darkness and the mist. And though the body sleeps, the heart will never rest. Feeling like
crushing of a fist. There's a hunger in the center of the chest. There's a passage through the darkness and the mist. And though the body sleeps, the heart will never rest. Oh, let us turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King. I recognize that there are ties between us. All men and women living on the earth, ties of hope and love, sister and brotherhood.
Can we all say amen? Amen. What a great song to be a part of our conclusion to this Strength to Love series. Thank you, Sage. Thank you, Sunlight. You know, I've been a pastor here at Trinity for almost 5 years now, and it has been just one of my greatest privileges to be a part of the youth ministry here, both working with Sunlight and our student ministries. And you know, I think that there is a risk that we run, those of us who are older, to look at these young people and think that they are the future of the church and forget that they are the church now. And so it really is a privilege for us today to be led in worship by these young people who have a lot to say about what's happening in our world, have a lot to say about what they are coming to learn that it means to be followers of Jesus Christ for the transformation of this world. And I'm particularly excited this morning that you get to hear a word that will be preached by our own Maddie Filmer. Maddie Filmer is a senior at Buholz High School. She's on the dive team there, and she's grown up at Trinity. And I've really come to appreciate getting to know Maddie over these past several years, and I learned very early on that there's one thing about Maddie. It is her kind-heartedness. She has a spiritual gift of encouragement. She has been a real and genuine encouragement to me in my ministry as a pastor, and so I really appreciate her friendship. But you know, I guess it's been a little over a year or so ago now, we had done a lesson on spiritual gifts at UMYF out back one Sunday evening, and Maddie and I share the same spiritual gifts, according to this one assessment that we took together. And so Maddie's primary gift was revealed to be Pastor Shepherd. And I've always known, listening to Maddie and the focuses that she's written for Sunlight Songs and her delivery of those focuses, I've always known that God was at work in her life, and I believe that God has a calling on her life, and so I'm glad that she has the opportunity today to preach God's word. So I invite you to pray with me as we prepare to hear what God has to say today. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh this morning so that in the reading of the scripture, your word is heard. In the meditations of our hearts, your word is known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, your word is shown.
Good morning. As Aaron said, I'm Maddie Filmer, and I'm so grateful to be able to share with you the words that God has placed on my heart. So let's worship. The scripture today comes from the Gospel of John. Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I have loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. John 13:34-35. The word of God for the people of God, and all God's people say, thanks be to God. So, on the screen, you see an extensive list of things millennials have killed. This includes wine corks, bar soap, department stores, Big Macs, and democracy, among many other things. But though it seems we might be mercilessly killing everything good and true in this world, I can say with much confidence that we possess at least one redeeming quality, and that is our proclivity to love. It may be the innocence of our youth or a lack of bills to pay, but I believe that millennials' proclivity to love is due to the fact that we're being raised in a world much, much different than any before, in a world that in many ways is bigger than ever before. In times past, moral worldviews and preconceived ideas about people and cultures different from our own were more or less inherited from those we loved and trusted most. So what we were taught about people from different cultures and backgrounds and races was limited by the amount of diversity, or lack thereof, in one's immediate environment. Youth today literally have the world at our fingertips. With little effort, we can access testimonies, images, and documentaries of all sorts, from refugees, people in combat zones, and victims of prejudice and hate crimes. And this technology has been available to us from the minute we were born. While the influence of our immediate surroundings, our parents, teachers, and coaches, and friends, remains incredibly important, there is no denying the influence that worldwide media has on us. When the world was smaller and diversity limited, people that may have once seen, that have once been seen as enemies, and places that may have once been imagined as hostile in times past, we millennials see with different eyes. We have the opportunity to see others for qualities beyond race and ethnicity. We see their true self, created in God's image. The diversity we see in the world is not something to be feared, but celebrated. In fact, I believe this enables us to be more free in our ability to love others, no matter how different they are from us. In spite of all this, I see all that is happening in our world today and can't help but wonder why there is still so much hatred and animosity. The world God created and loves is much too beautiful for such ugliness. There's a running joke in my family. As I get closer and closer to college and moving out of the nest, my mom likes to ask me quite frequently about my plans for career choice, marriage, and where it will be that she can visit her future grandchildren. Each time I tell her that she's always welcome to visit me and her grand goat on our mountain in Africa. You see, I have this vision of living on a mountain somewhere in Africa with a goat, and though this is just a joke, it comes from a very genuine place in my heart. From an early age, I took a great interest in faith and the pure beauty that I find in a human being sharing a deep, genuine relationship with God. Africa is a place where Christianity is rapidly taking root. And for many people, their belief in Jesus is really like the only thing they have. Well, here in the States, religion can barely stack up against the loads of obligations and activities we find ourselves tied to. To these people in Africa, life is seemingly nothing without it. My biggest dream is to live in a place with that much passion and genuine faith. I want to be a witness to the power of Christ and the dwelling of His Spirit with such an active community of believers. On this note, I'll tell you something else I want. Like any self-respecting millennial would, I spend way too much time scrolling through Pinterest. However, on occasion, deeply profound messages surface on my feed. Surprisingly enough, it was on one of these trips through the dark rabbit hole of Pinterest that I found a picture that has shaken the way I perceive life and my duty as a follower of Christ every day since. This one word preaches the gospel. This one idea captures the very essence of the golden rule. This one visual wordplay shows the whole reason Jesus took on our flesh, dwelt among us, then suffered, died, and rose from the grave. Love is a revolution. Real, genuine, heartfelt love demands everything involved in a revolution. Commitment, sacrifice, the efforts of masses, and a steadfast resolve to do the hard work of lasting change. If all of us, as God's children, are to become a more loving people, we need to tear down all that divides us. If we could only begin by doing that, I think we could accomplish even more than just erasing racial and cultural tensions that still permeate our society. When Jesus calls us to love our neighbor, he didn't mean for us to be on good terms with the people in our life, or to spare change for a beggar every once in a while, or even necessarily to volunteer in our spare time. You know, I'm so attracted to this idea of revolutionary love because, to me, it's the sole intention behind everything Jesus did on earth. It's the small details of his ministry that, as Christians, we've heard so many times, their power has been lost to us. Eating with tax collectors, being friends with prostitutes. Think about that. That's radical. People didn't do that in those days. People don't do that now. Yet, Jesus calls us into exactly that kind of love. That's so much more than just being kind to people. That kind of love extends much deeper than sparing a compliment to a stranger or spare change to a beggar. The kind of revolutionary love we are called to embody is only the slightest bit possible if we embrace it as the driving force behind every single action we take, and with a whole lot of God's grace. From the moment we rise until we fall asleep, we, as followers of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, should go above and beyond in the business of love. We should be actively seeking ways we can assist, listen to, and provide support for our community. Loving the minimum amount is no longer enough in this modern world. Today, inconsiderate actions are looked down upon, and selflessness is exalted. I would say it's widely acknowledged and even expected that people of all cultures and religions be of a loving nature. In a sense, biblical ideals are becoming a new social norm. If we, as disciples of Christ, intend, as the scripture suggests, to be distinguished and publicly known by the quantity and the quality by which we love, we must challenge ourselves to go to extreme measures, a task which requires much, much more than just a small fraction of our attention. Very recently, when I was talking about my Africa aspirations with Reverend Aaron, he told me, "Maddie, when I was on a mission in Malawi, seeing the depth of their faith and their overwhelming joy in Christ changed me. But it actually gave me a greater compassion for our struggles here. Some might presume that natives in Malawi are lost when we are the ones who need to be found." This struck me because it was a truth that I had overlooked in all of my dreaming. I realized my longing to leave this country came from a desire to flee. I had completely given up on the possibility that I could ever find this reality of passionate faith and radical love in America. All around us, people are searching for fulfillment and for a reason to live. Our own country is full of people desperate for love and in need of that great joy that can be found in Christ alone. The services we have to offer as the hands and feet of Christ are in high demand. Why would I want to leave when a revolutionary spirit of love and belief needs to be ignited right here at home? A love revolution can start with us. There's a metaphor for all this in the Chronicles of Narnia. The character Eustace is cursed and turned to a dragon and carries a really big, heavy set of scales. In the night, a lion comes to him and orders for him to undress himself of the scales. Eustace peels off layer after layer of his scaly skin, finding yet another layer in which to shed. Eventually, the lion offers Eustace help. He begins to painfully tear deep into the scales. When telling of it, Eustace says, "The very first tear he made was so deep, I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt." This is a depiction of just how a love revolution begins. You hear a heavy-hitting sermon or a worship song, and you're passionate, and you're determined to become more of a disciple, so you start actively trying to show your love and shed the easy, painless scales. And then life picks up pace a little bit, and you get a really big project at work or at school, or someone betrays you and you hurt inside. Or something happens and you realize that life is just a little too busy at the moment, and your passion fades away, And then before you realize, the scales have already grown back. And the scales will always grow back until we make the deep cuts. Sometimes I feel stuck in this cycle. If I were to truly commit to this call to love, I would need to go deeper than my two-day spiritual highs or my bursts of inspiration. I would need to extend far beyond my efforts of being a little extra social or a tad more kind. Because this greatest command, this law of Jesus Christ, calls for deep, internal, and lasting change. Change in mindset, change in lifestyle. Maybe my scales are grudges and memories of those who have wronged me. Maybe they're worldly values, like my social standing or my pride. Or maybe they're my ceaseless efforts to conform to this pattern, to the pattern of this world, and to succeed in a demanding society. All which are painful to tear off. Shedding such things is hard and it hurts, and it's scary giving them up. Eustace even testifies to this pain. He describes it as hurting worse than anything he'd ever felt. But then he goes on to say, it's well worth it. Pain like that proves the strength it takes to love like Jesus loves. What skills might you need to shed so you can join the love revolution? Ask God to reveal to you the answer. A perfect place to start is at this table, where we will gather in just a moment. This table invites us to first repent of our sins so we might receive the love, forgiveness, mercy, and grace that God wants to pour on us. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we can feel the revolutionary love of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, all at work to help us shed our scales, if only we let them. So I challenge you to let today be the day that you go all in to the love revolution. Indeed, Jesus calls us all to love each other like he loves. May we all go deeper in our love, deeper in our faith, deeper in our relationships, and deeper in our mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen.
Indeed, Christ invites to his table all who repent of their sin, who desire to respond to the love and the grace of God by turning and following in the same direction as Christ. We gather here to remember, to experience forgiveness through the elements that we find here that offer us grace, to commit with one another to live as a witness to God's goodness in the world around us. We come here to remember, and in doing so, we recall that night when Jesus gathered with his disciples for a final meal, and he took bread and broke the bread. He shared it with them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and he gave thanks. Shared it with them and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance." Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, may we come to your table with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts, and with a renewed desire to live into your love revolution for all of your people. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, so that in receiving them we might recognize the real presence of Christ. We might offer ourselves as followers of His ways, and that we might take up the call, having seen and having known His gift through His body and His blood, the call to be the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood in the world today. Now make us one with You, with each other, and in ministry to all the world, until that day when we feast at Your heavenly banquet table together. All honor and glory and power be Yours now and forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come forward to the altar rails. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is always open. Christ invites us all to come and to receive. There are servers throughout the space in front of many of the sections, and we just invite you to come to the pair that's closest to you. Receive bread, take the bread and dip it into the cup. After you have received, you can return to your seats, or if you'd like, you can spend time here at the altar rails in prayer. Let us come with joy to the feast.
Uncontained, Your love is a fire burning bright for me. It's not just a spark, not just a flame. Your love is alive, all the world will see. All the world will see. Your love's not fractured, not a troubled mind. It isn't anxious, not the restless kind. Your love's not passive, never disengaged. It's always present, it hangs on every word you say. Love keeps its promises, it keeps its word. Honors what's sacred, its vows are good. Your love's not broken, not insecure.
Merciful God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery by which you have given yourself to us. And having been nourished at this table, may we rise to go out and give ourselves to others in love and in service as you have taught us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
As you prepare to go out into the world, may we go knowing that we really can make a difference in our world as we reach out to others and let the power of God's love work in and through us. Please stand and sing with us, Hold Us Together.
Thank you. feels appropriate to me for us to raise a clap offering to God for the work that God's Spirit has done in and through these youth leading us this morning. Can we do that? You were issued a challenge by Maddie to shed some scales and ask God to reveal what scales you need to shed. You know, on Wednesday, we enter into the holy season of Lent, which is by tradition a season of penance and preparation, and a perfect opportunity for us to come and to pray and to worship and to ask God to reveal what work we might need to do in our own hearts as to gather here for the worship of God on Ash Wednesday at 6:35, right here in the worship center. Special service in the round. I hope that you all will come. And now Maddie and I will offer you a benediction. This is the benediction that we share in every Sunday night when the youth gather in the youth building for UMYF. But may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Say this, so I walked up here.